of the famous Iranian poet Sayyid Muhammad Hussein Behjat Tabrizi, known by his pen name Shahriyar. According to experts, this graveyard is a rich collection of the history of Iranian literature. Maqbarat al-Shu'ara is a structure with both modern and traditional architectural art, and it creates a sense of connection between the viewer and the design. Here I'm walking on Aref Street of Tabriz, which leads to Maqbarat al-Shu'ara. Tabriz is a beautiful city with amazing weather at this time of the year. Here I can see it. Yes, here's our destination. The Maqbarat al-Shu'ara of Tabriz. When you go up the stairs, you will encounter a huge structure that is actually a great piece of art. Marvelous. It surrounds you with many arches. And to reach the entrance, you must go down the stairs and enter the main space below the symbol of the tomb. When you reach the main section, you will find yourself in a large room with a few smaller rooms next to it. Oh, look at the tomb on the corner. It's fenced with glass with engraved poems on it. This is the grave of Shahriyar.
در انتظار تو چشمم سپید گشت و غمی نیست. اگر قبول تو افتد فدای چشم سیاهت. ز گرد راه برون آب که پیر دست به دیوار به عشق آه یتیمون دویده بر سر راهت. بیا که جز تو سزاوار این کلاه و کمر نیست. تویی که سود کمربند کهکشان به کلاهت.
The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, believes that Shahriyar was a prominent poet and his verses showed his wisdom. In the leader's view, although Shahriyar's poems were at a high level in terms of Persian literary standards, they were understandable even to the ordinary people. Shahriyar's poems about the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, clearly indicate his love and devotion. علی همای رحمت، تو چه آیتی خدا را که به ما سوا فکندی همه سایه هما را. او علی, the bird of bliss, what a portent of God you art, for thy shadow hast overshadowed one and all. دل اگر خدا شناسی همه در رخ علی بین. به علی شناختم من به خدا قسم خدا را. O heart, if thou art Gnostic, seek everything in Ali's image. By God, I came to know God by the very Ali indeed. This room is filled with poetry, writings, sculptures, and paintings of various poets buried here. There are several side sections here as well. One of them is for office work, and another one for selling books, handicrafts, small sculptures, etc. In other sections, you can get to know more about other poets. Say, art is long, but life is short. And actually, words fail me in speaking about Shahriyar. Shahriyar was the first Iranian poet to compose significant works in Azeri language. His most famous Azeri language poem, Hey Dar Baba, has so far been translated into 90 languages. Shahriyar is one of the shining stars of Iran, which serve as the abstract of Islamic and Iranian insight, as well as a bridge between yesterday and today's poetry.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
$10 an hour, 5 years, seniority.
One of the striking auto workers in the U.S. Thousands of United Auto Workers are officially on a strike after three Detroit automakers failed to reach an agreement with the union.
What appears that now is going to happen is the UAW is planning targeted strikes across all three companies. So striking at just specific plants.
We're going to get to that story soon. But did you know that the U.S. is experiencing strikes in other sectors as well? From UPS, the carrier service, to Starbucks, the coffee chain,
we pull the shots.
We call the shots.
Workers at many U.S. companies are taking to the streets. In short, they are fighting for better pay and improved working conditions.
We have hotel workers on strike across the region, everywhere from the LA Grand, which joined the strike this morning, JW Marriott, Ritz-Carlton.
We have a very weak labor law. There are a lot of aspects of our economy and our politics that concentrate a lot of power in the hands of corporations.
And there may be more strikes to come. UPS employees started striking before reaching a deal. That would have involved some 340,000 workers. Close to 3,000 Starbucks workers protested what they called unfair labor practices. 1,400 members of the United Electrical Workers went on a strike after rejecting the company's contract offer. 6,000 workers at Boeing's Aerosystems went on a strike, also rejecting the company's contract offer. Add to that 80 Amazon drivers who protested unfair labor practices. And McDonald's employees in California went on a strike over paid sick leave. Well, it becomes evident how much of a common occurrence these strikes are. And we can't forget Hollywood. Here's Susan Sarandon, a famous Hollywood actress, who joined film and television writers on picket lines for better pay, health insurance, and improved working conditions.
Well, I've been here a number of times, and it always makes me feel optimistic, because it means that there is a chance, if we stick together, that we can get justice, and that's what we're here for.
General Motors, Ford Motor Company, and Chrysler, well-known names in the car industry, brand names with record incomes, but not so for the average worker.
They should be paid more. The corporation is making billions of dollars, and these people have been with them, and the cost of living and stuff like that. They've been with this company 20, 30 years.
Tens and thousands of the United Auto Workers are officially on a strike. The three Detroit automakers have failed to reach an agreement with the union, which represents about 146,000 workers. One major issue on the table, workers' pay. The union has proposed 40% hourly pay increases over the next 4 years. The average U.S. auto worker on a manufacturing production line earns about $28 per hour as of August. That's up only $1 from the previous year. The problem began on an agreement that the auto workers made with the government, which bailed out the big three automakers. The problem is, the workers hired in 2007 or earlier earned an average of $33 per hour, but the ones hired after 2007 earn only $17 an hour. Why? Because this agreement was made as a goodwill gesture to help the automakers get back on their feet after the crisis. But now auto workers' hourly earnings have fallen 19.3% since 2007. And that is not fair as they see it. Even the U.S. politicians see it that way, like Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
The fight you are waging here is not just about decent wages and working conditions and pensions in the automobile industry. It is a fight to take on corporate greed and tell the people on top this country belongs to all of us, not just a few.
But strikes in the U.S. are happening at a more frequent pace compared to previous years. There were 424 work stoppages in 2022, including 417 strikes and 7 lockouts. Work stoppages increased by 52% from 2021 to 2022. The number of workers involved in work stoppages increased by 60% from 2021 to 2022. The number of striking workers as a consequence saw an increase. Since the year 2021, the numbers have been rising steadily, with 650,000 to have threatened to go on a strike so far this year. The strikes point to a deeper problem within the U.S. economy. Things are not that rosy when it comes to Americans' income and economic well-being. For example, homelessness has been on the rise in several states, most notably California, and also in New York City.
The unhoused population has exploded with the addition of the new arrivals. For example, here at St. Bartholomew's Church, where we start serving, we're seeing on average anywhere from 250 to 275 people, more or less regularly. Once the new arrivals started coming, our numbers got up over 400 people.
Migration agency IOM has raised the alarm over the high number of migrants killed while crossing the U.S.-Mexico border It has described the U.S.-Mexico border as the world's deadliest land route for migrants. At least 686 deaths and disappearances were reported in the border crossing last year. The figure represents nearly half of the 1,457 migrant deaths and disappearances recorded through the Americas in 2022, the deadliest year on record since IOM's Missing Migrants Project began in 2014. The data underscores the growing death toll and increasing risks that migrants face throughout the region. These figures represent the lowest estimates available, as many more deaths are likely to go unrecorded due to a lack of data from official sources. Nearly half of the deaths on the U.S.-Mexico border were linked to the hazardous crossing of the Sonoran and the Chihuahuan deserts, far more than other desert regions where irregular migration is prevalent.
The International Organization for Migration documented the deaths and disappearances of 686 migrants on the U.S.-Mexico border in 2022, making it the deadliest land route for migrants worldwide last year. The figure represents nearly half of the 1,457 migrant deaths and disappearances recorded throughout the Americas last year, the deadliest on record since the Missing Migrants Project began in 2014.
Hundreds of thousands of migrants and asylum seekers have taken long and perilous paths through South and Central America and Mexico in hopes of reaching the U.S. border to apply for protection. Many are fleeing rampant gang violence, poverty, political persecution, and other crises in their home countries. This is while the U.S. is accused of ignoring the plight of migrants. From an economic perspective, it is the U.S. that benefits from the contribution of migrants to the nation's GDP. Many of those immigrants that come to the U.S. through its southern borders end up working in farms and construction sites owned by big companies. It's been argued that increased immigration promotes U.S. economic growth and helps tackle labor shortages and inflation. U.S. President Joe Biden, who is under pressure from Republicans, has launched new restrictions and programs to discourage people from trying to apply for asylum at the frontier. The measures have been put in place amid record numbers of arrivals at the border since he took office in early 2021. The measures introduced by the Biden administration include a rule that disqualifies people from seeking asylum in the U.S. if they did not first apply in countries that they crossed earlier in their journeys. Rights groups have slammed the measure as an asylum ban. The Biden administration has also opened so-called safe mobility centers in Latin America to allow asylum seekers to apply for U.S. protection in third countries instead of at the border with Mexico. But migrants and asylum seekers continue to head to the border. For years, Central American nations have stepped up immigration enforcement efforts, often at the behest of the United States, erecting new obstacles for the steady stream of people making the journey north. The journey is plagued with violence, with areas under the control of criminal networks and armed groups.
The Darien Gap, an inhospitable jungle border crossing between Panama and Colombia, saw 141 documented migrant deaths in 2022. The remote and dangerous nature of this area and the presence of criminal gangs along the route means that this figure likely does not represent the actual number of lives lost.
The surge in arrivals has piled political pressure on the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden, whose Republican rivals have accused him of causing chaos at the border. In 2021, U.S. authorities reportedly detained 1.7 million migrants trying to cross the U.S.-Mexico border.
Let me be clear. The lifting of the Title 42 public health order does not mean our border is open. In fact, it is the contrary. Our use of our immigration enforcement authorities under Title 8 of the United States Code means tougher consequences for people who cross the border illegally.
Marking an all-time high and highlighting the deepening political and humanitarian challenges the Biden administration is facing on immigration, the U.S. has been increasingly reliant on Mexico to stem the flow of migrants. As it returns to Mexico, the majority of people who arrive at the border under a Trump-era border restriction enacted due to the coronavirus pandemic.
President Ebrahim Raisi has underscored Iran's full authority on its recently released assets. Raisi said it is the Islamic Republic that decides how to spend the funds and that the money will be spent, quote, wherever we need it.
This money belongs to the Islamic Republic of Iran, and naturally, we will decide, the Islamic Republic of Iran will decide to spend it wherever we need it.
So if I hear you clearly, that it will be used for more than humanitarian purposes, in your view?
Humanitarian means whatever the Iranian people needs. So this money will be budgeted for those needs. And the needs of the Iranian people will be decided and determined by the Iranian government.
Raisi made the remarks in an exclusive interview with the American broadcast television network NBC in the capital, Tehran. He pointed to the last month's deal between Iran and the United States to exchange prisoners and to secure the release of $6 billion of Iranian funds that had remained blocked in two South Korean banks since 2018 because of U.S. pressure on Seoul. The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden claimed at the time that the funds and the proceeds of Iranian oil sales to South Korea could only be spent on humanitarian purposes.
The system is set up such that this money, these funds, can only be parceled out for humanitarian purposes.
The Biden administration has announced that it had taken concrete steps to clear the way for the prisoner exchange and also issuing a waiver that allows international banks to transfer the $6 billion to Qatar without the threat of U.S. sanctions. The waiver means that European, Middle Eastern and Asian banks will not be in violation of U.S. sanctions in converting Iran's money, which was frozen in South Korea, and transferring it to Qatar's central bank, where it will be held for Tehran. Top Iranian officials have emphasized that there is no connection between the prisoner exchange agreement reached with the United States and the release of Iran's frozen assets. U.S. sanctions have mostly targeted Iran's sale of crude oil and its ability to engage in dollar transactions in the global banking system. The Iranian funds were illegally blocked under the pretext of U.S. sanctions. Meanwhile, Iran's permanent mission to the United Nations has confirmed that five Iranians detained illegally in the United States on charges of circumventing U.S. sanctions will soon be released as part of a prisoner swap deal between Tehran and Washington. The five Iranian detainees were identified as Kaveh Lutfullah Afrasiabi, Mehrdad Muin Ansari, Amin Hassanzadeh, Reza Sarhangpour Kofrani, and Kambiz Attar Kashani. The prisoner exchange agreement was officially announced on August 10th, following 2 years of indirect negotiations between Tehran and Washington. In a gesture of goodwill, Iran has moved four American detainees from prison to house arrest. They joined the fifth American who was already under house arrest in Tehran. Meanwhile, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has expressed the Islamic Republic's readiness to negotiate last year's draft agreement aimed at salvaging the 2015 nuclear deal, also known as a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action or the JCPOA, and removing illegal U.S. sanctions. Amir Abdollahian underscored the current administration's efforts to neutralize Western-led sanctions against the Islamic Republic while keeping the window open for negotiations to remove the illegal U.S. bans. The United States, under former President Donald Trump, abandoned the JCPOA in May 2018 and reinstated sanctions that the agreement had lifted. The talks to revive the 2015 deal kicked off in the Austrian capital city of Vienna in April 2021 with the intention of removing anti-Iran sanctions and examining the U.S. seriousness in rejoining the JCPOA. The discussions, however, have been at a standstill since August 2022 due to Washington's insistence on its hard-nosed position of not removing all the sanctions that were slapped on Tehran by the previous U.S. administration.
What the Americans want to do is have a JCPOA where they don't abide by their commitments in full, and the Iranians do so. And the Iranians are not going to have that again. When Obama signed the deal, he systematically violated the deal from day one. And then Trump tore up the deal. And Biden, despite criticizing Trump, he pursued Trump's maximum pressure policy, which was directed at ordinary Iranians.
Iran has consistently said that it has not left the negotiations with the Western side and that it was the United States which has blocked the talks with its excessive demands.
Thank you.
Iran's leader, addressing thousands of people from the provinces of Sistan and Balochistan and South Khorasan. He also said the U.S. and Europe do not have the same powers as before and are declining. The leader may be referring to the rise of powerful blocs like BRICS or the SCO. BRICS in particular has just recently expanded from its current 5 members to include new members like Iran and Saudi Arabia. And here's a map of the world outlining BRICS countries. It is pretty obvious how the U.S. and Europe are the minority. U.S. intervention in other countries' affairs, whether through wars, regime change, or economic sanctions, has led to the polarization of the world. The leader called the U.S. failure in Syria and the humiliating escape from Afghanistan two obvious examples of the decline of American power. It's a toss-up between which of these two failures were more humiliating. Right now, the U.S. is occupying Syria, looting the country from its oil, and selling it to provide for its troops there, and by many accounts, to support the terrorists in northern Syria. That is a low for any country. A big slap in the face to France and colonialism. From Mali to Niger to Gabon, African countries are rising against the colonial country France, which has held these countries captive economically. But the people of these countries have now risen, saying that enough is enough. Iran's leader has said you hear these days how the African countries that were under the influence of France are rising against it one after another. Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader stated that Washington is working on ethnic and sectarian fault lines in Iran with the aim of creating a crisis in the country. Some of the areas that he outlined, called crisis points, are ethnic differences, religious differences, and the issue of gender and women. But this is something that the U.S. has executed for quite some time. Back in the year 2007, it was revealed that the CIA was funding ethnic separatist groups to create instability in Iran. These incidents were carried out by the Kurds in the west, the Azeris in the northwest, the Ahwazi Arabs in the southwest, and the Baluchis in the southeast. The incidents included bombing and assassination campaigns against Iranian soldiers and government officials. There was also the Iran Freedom Support, an act of Congress approved by the former U.S. President George W. Bush that appropriated millions of dollars to spend money in support of groups opposed to the Iranian government. Iran's leader statements have come at a time when there is an intense campaign to turn the unfortunate passing away of Mahsa Amini's one-year anniversary into a violent one.
The commission is the premier UN body for promoting gender equality and empowering women. It cannot do its important work if it's being undermined from within. Iran's membership at this moment is an ugly stain on the commission's credibility.
One member, a bullying member, notorious for disobeying the UN Charter and international law, intend to pursue its unlawful request to remove an elected member from the commission only on the basis of unfounded claims and fabricated arguments.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
The United States is going to hell, former President Donald Trump has said. Trump has said that re-electing him in the upcoming presidential election would give the nation a last chance to turn things around. He told the Sirius XM satellite radio station that the United States is in a rapid decline. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT wrote in this regard, the U.S. ex-president says the 2024 election will be the most important in American history. Donald Trump has said America is in rapid decline and re-electing him would give the country a last chance to turn things around. Trump told journalist Megyn Kelly in an interview for Sirius XM satellite radio station recently, our country is going to hell. Our country is going down. The U.S. has one last chance, which makes the presidential vote in 2024 the most important election we've ever had, he claimed. The former leader acknowledged that he said the same about his victorious presidential race of 2016, but insisted that the next year's vote will be even more crucial. Trump insisted, our country is going bad, our country is being destroyed under the Biden administration, adding, we are a nation in serious decline, and I think I can turn it around very fast. With Trump currently indicted in four separate cases, Kelly asked how concerned he was about potentially ending up behind bars. The Republican candidate replied, I have a great attitude. It doesn't affect me at all because I'm fighting for the country. I'm fighting for the people. The 77-year-old said the good polling numbers make him confident he's going to win the election no matter what happens because the people know the charges are fake. Recently, a survey published by Quinnipiac University suggested that 62% of Republican voters want Trump to be their party's nominee in 2024. The poll also said Trump is currently trailing the incumbent President Joe Biden by just 1%. Trump reiterated his earlier claim that he does not believe Biden will stand for re-election in 2024 due to the 80-year-old's apparent poor health. He said of Biden, I watched him yesterday. He couldn't put two sentences together. He can't talk. It's not an age thing. It's a competent thing. In August, a Wall Street Journal poll found that 73% of U.S. voters think Biden is too old to seek a second term, while only 36% described him as mentally fit to fulfill his duties. However, Trump's age, at just 3 years younger than Biden, is apparently also an issue for many Americans. A study by the NBC in June said that 55% of those surveyed had concern about his physical and mental health. According to Press TV, Trump now faces four criminal indictments in three separate jurisdictions and a number of civil lawsuits as he continues his campaign. The charges stem from his efforts to overturn the 2020 election, his retention of classified documents after his defeat, and hush money payments. The Republican Party's front runner, however, has told millions of his followers that prosecutors are only playing politics. He faces roughly 75 years in prison if convicted on all accounts. But if he is back in power, he could put off serving prison time until his term concludes. Trump, however, said recently that it is very unlikely that he would pardon himself if he wins another term in 2024 and that he didn't do anything wrong.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we have Hussein Akbari, Hussein Ruhullah, and Hassan Nasrullah with us in this session. I really, really welcome them all. Assalamu alaikum, Hussein Ruhullah, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam, sir, how are you?
Fine, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much. And Hussein Akbari, how are you?
Fine.
Ahsanta. MashaAllah. Okay. Everybody is okay here. We hope that you, dear listeners, are all right. Inshallah, today we will work on Ayah 171 of Surah An-Nisa on page
105.
So, brothers and sisters, as you have your Quran with you, turn to page 105 of the Quran Kareem, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 171. Very, very good points, important points are going to be mentioned, inshallah, in this ayah, from this ayah. And we want you, inshallah, to stay with us till the end of this session. Let's get started with listening to the recitation of this ayah. Ready?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Let's go.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Ahlal Kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum wa la taqulu 'ala Allahi illa al-haqq. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكفى بالله وكيلا.
Superb, mashallah. Allah bless the reciter. That was a nice one. I really liked it. That was a nice one, yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's a long ayah though. Ya Ahlal Kitab. لا تغلو في دينكم. O people of the book, Allah Almighty talks to the Christians and the Jews, okay? O people of the book, لا تغلو في دينكم. Do not exceed the bounds in your religion, okay? ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. And do not attribute anything to Allah Almighty except the truth. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم. عيسى بن مريم. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only Rasulullah, an apostle of Allah Almighty. He was not his son. The Christians believe that we got what? We have the God of Son, we have the God of Father. They believe that Isa alayhi salam is the Son of God. Allah Almighty says, hey, people of the book, come on. Yeah? وَلَا تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Don't say, don't attribute anything to Allah except the truth. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He's the prophet of God. He's not the son of God. Though he didn't have father. It's the creation of Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty created. Allah Almighty created Prophet Adam without a father and a mother. Okay? Prophet Isa had a mother. That was better. If you say that Prophet Isa is the son of God because he didn't have a father, so Allah is the father, you have to say that Allah is the father and mother of Prophet Adam. No way. He's not the father or the mother. He's the creator. Allah is?
Creator.
The creator. Allah is the creator. That's all. The way Allah Almighty created Prophet Adam, that way Allah Almighty created Prophet Isa. The way he creates everybody. Very simple. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So, إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And the Jews, okay, they believed that Uzair, okay, إِنَّمَا الْيَهُود, okay, Yahud or the Jews, okay, they say, عُزَيْرٌ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ. Prophet Uzair is the son of God. But Christians say, Nasara say that, عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ. Both are false. Allah Almighty doesn't have any son, and he is not the son of everybody else. Okay? Then Allah Almighty says, إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ. And his word, the word of Allah, أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهِ. He's the word of Allah Almighty that he cast toward Mary and a spirit from him. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. So you should have faith in Allah and His apostles. Have faith in Allah and His apostles. Not, God forbid, He's not His son, so you believe like He is His son. No. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ وَلَا تَقُولُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. And do not say God is a trinity. We got three gods. The God of Father, the God of Son, and the Holy Spirit. No way. These things are false. The Holy Spirit, you believe, He's a creator of Allah Almighty. A creature of Allah Almighty, sorry. God of Son, you believe? No, He's the creator, a creature of Allah Almighty. He is the prophet of Allah. Yes? Yes or no?
Yes.
Intahu khayran lakum. Relinquish such a creed that is better for you. Put that aside, disbeliefs, okay? Put them aside. Innama Allahu ilahun wahid. Allah is but the one God. There is no God except Allah. Allah is only one. Wala taqulu thalatha. Don't say three. Subhanahu, glory to him. He is far too immaculate. Ayyakuna lahu walad. Subhanallah, he doesn't have any son. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. And he has everything on the earth. Whatever is on the earth is for him. He doesn't need a son or a daughter. The pagans, they believe that Allah Almighty has chosen they believe that the angels are the daughters of God. They believe this way. So these are false things that they attribute to Allah Almighty. Glorify, Subhanallah. وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَهُمَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And whatever is on the earth or in the heavens belong to Allah Almighty. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah suffices as a trustee. Okay? If you accept it, recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني
نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Time to go to the tajweed section of our class and practice the recitation. So, Hussein, you read once from Ya Ahla al-Kitab la taghlu fi dinikum wa la taqulu ala Allah illa al-haq. Then the other Hussein will read from إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنْهِ. Okay, then again this Hussein will read فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. Then Hassan will read وَلَا تَقُولُ ثَلَاثَهِ. Then Hussein will read إِنْتَهُ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ. This way he will read, okay? Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق.
أحسنتم. The other Hussein, you read.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه.
أحسنتم. حسن يريد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة.
أحسن. حسين يريد ذس. إنتهوا خيرا لكم.
إنتهوا خيرا لكم.
أحسن. حسين. The other حسين.
إنما الله إله واحد.
أحسن. حسن.
سبحانه أن يكون له ولد.
أحسنتم. حسين يريد له.
له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض.
أحسن. You the last part. حسين read.
وكفى بالله وكيلا.
أحسنتم. ما شاء الله. So this is how we recite, but let's point some tajweed rules here, okay? Quickly we will point some of them, the important ones. Ya ahl al-kitab. You could extend the sound of ya or skip it. Ya ahl al-kitab. Or ya ahl al-kitab. لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله على الله. Allah is pronounced with an awesome. إلا الحق. You could stop here, make a pause, or continue. It's jais. إنما المسيح إن. How do you say that? إن.
إنما المسيح.
أحسن. إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله رسول الله. عيسى بن مريم. قلقلة. Echoing sound. عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته ألقاها. كلمته. There is a baby wow. Extend sound. وكلمته ألقاها. Also it has a mat on the top if you see. إلى مريم وروح منه. Make sure you extend the sound. وروح منه. Sila tells you it's better to continue, but you are allowed to stop. فآمنوا بالله ورسوله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة. So you can stop here. إنتهوا. إنتهوا. You hide the sound. خيرا لكم. Join خيرا to لكم. You will get this way. خيرا لكم. إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ will be pronounced this way. إِلَٰهُ وَاحِدٌ إِنَّمَا اللَّهُ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ سُبْحَانَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ will be merged. أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَلَدٌ Meme is there, a baby meme on the top. You see? What does it say? Huh?
Waladun.
Waladun. If you stop here, because meme is there, it says you should stop. Walad. If you stop here, you should stop or no? What does that meme say there?
Huh? No, it's not talking about.
What does that meme say there on the top? That's a stopping sign. What does it say? Waqful lazim. You must stop here.
Oh.
You must stop here. This meme, fallen meme, is stretched to the left side. This tells you must stop here. Okay? Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa kafa billahi shahida. No more important point. So, let me recite it. You listen and repeat after. Okay? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ya ahlal kitabi la taghlu fi dinikum wa la taqulu 'ala Allah illa al-haq.
يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق
إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته
إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته
ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه
وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه
فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد
إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد
له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
وكفى بالله وكيلا
وكفى بالله وكيلا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنت ما شاء الله Allah bless you Brothers and sisters Thank you so much for being with us Up to this time Allah bless you May Allah accept from all of us Stay with Arab English Radio That's it from us for today والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines: Iran and the United States release 5 detainees each under a prisoner exchange agreement. World Bank says Israeli imposed restrictions and fiscal constraints have hindered Palestinians' access to life-saving health care. And a U.S. Maine Auto Workers Union warns an ongoing strike will expand if no agreement on pay hikes is reached.